The title of the message today is Fear Affecting Your Heart. Went out in the weekly reminders as is fear affecting your home. If it's affecting your heart, it's definitely affecting your home. So either way you saw it, we'll address it. Please join me now for the prayer for illumination. Oh God, you know us better than we know ourselves. As the scriptures are read and expounded upon, we will listen for your voice. We want to hear and receive your message. By your Holy Spirit, lead us out of our fears and into the knowledge of your deep love through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of our souls. And let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the gospel lesson comes to us today from Luke chapter 12, verses 32 to 40. Listen, hear the word of God. Jesus is speaking to the crowd and he says to them, do not be afraid. Let me say it again. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of the Lord. Let me start at the back and work my way forward and say this is not a threat designed to strike fear in your heart when he says the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. It's just a reminder that goes back to his first words, be ready. If you're ready, then you don't have to be fearful, right? The 12th chapter of Luke's gospel is full of Jesus offering kingdom teachings. He's teaching his followers how valuable each one of them is to God. So by correlation, how important each one of us is to God. He says God knows the number of hairs on our heads. And while some of us make it easier on God to count than others, God still has it nailed down. He also reminds us how God will take care of us and provide for us, and we are not to get lost in the pursuit of more. He tells a story about one man who has such a bumper crop that he decides to tear down his old barns and silos and build bigger barns and silos. For just when he thinks he's got it all, his life comes to an end. So he wants us to understand that our hoarding pursuits of laying up for the future could prove to be wasted and futile time, adding no joy to our days or adding days to our life. He invites us to focus our lives on seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. There's a full-time job. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. To daily pursue following him in his teachings and in his loving and caring and healing and life-changing mission and ministry. Still a full-time job. Such kingdom pursuits are at the heart of who we are. They are our life purpose as followers of Christ. It's a purpose that can be lived out in whatever vocational calling or career we are given to as our daily work. In other words, wherever you go, whatever you do, this is the overlay of who you are. A beloved child of God called to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. So that's the overlay of all of our work. In a lengthy paragraph just before our text today, Jesus told the disciples not to worry about the essentials for living. Most of us would make a list that would be something like this: food, clothing, housing, health care, work, security, family, friends, and safety is on our list lately. It's so easy to get anxious and our anxieties stirred up to the point where we feel like we're in jeopardy. When fear starts, it begins to drive anxiety. We begin to feel a sense of lack or little or not having enough. And then we find an internal debate going on within us of how much is enough? And that becomes sort of a value judgment. We have to sit with ourselves and determine what matters most. What do we really value? What is the heart of the matter for us? That's what Jesus is getting at. How fleeting can my faith in God be as it gets whisked away by fear, driving anxiety, and causing me to begin grasping at stuff, clutching to things that I think might give me security or aid me in survival. Bottom line is, fears drive me to try to be my own God. That's a dangerous thought. Somehow I convinced myself that I could provide on my own for all my needs. Not clear on my values when driven by fear, I begin to stockpile things that I think I will need because I'm not sure I can count on God. So this becomes my plan B, my backup. In case this whole faith notion that God will take care of me and provide for me fails. I'm sure none of you have ever questioned those things in your heart of hearts, but how fast my fear can rise up and take me captive to the pursuit of more and seeking security based on my own efforts, as if my faith in God is not really trusting God to come through. Have any of you struggled with these material matters in your Christian journey like I have? You don't have to say. You know the answer. Do you find yourself fearful when you sense you should be more faithful? Jesus offers us a word of peace. A fear not, little flock. And God is fully in charge and pleased to care for us and for all of our needs. Notice he doesn't address our wants, but he talks about God meeting our needs. Let's face it, we're human, and with all the scary things happening in the world today, horrific acts of domestic violence, gun violence, terrorism, both here in America and around the world, senseless killings, the spread of new strains of superviruses that are resistant to antibiotics, the shaky economy, our up and down stock market, or closer to home, I fear that those medical tests I'm waiting on the results of might confirm my worst fears of a dreaded diagnosis for me or for someone I love. In the face of all these threatening bits of daily news, it's hard to fully embrace Jesus' charge to me not to be fearful or overcome with worry. George Mueller once said, "The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety." that's a point that helps me ponder day to day, where am I in this conversation with God? It seems fear is a problem in our society. It's an epidemic that's growing. High anxiety has become a norm for so many today, and we medicate to try to cope. Such fear can hold us back from experiencing the fullness of life. But don't lose heart. There's a solution. And the solution is to draw nearer to Christ and to allow Christ to grow our faith within us. The reason we need growing faith is the same reason we need Christ. It's to free us from fear and anxiety that captivate us. Two of our vacation Bible school words this week were boldness and courage, synonyms, if you will. As followers of Christ, we need Christ to give us the courage to overcome fear. I believe that fear is the opposite of faith, and that the adversary, Satan, the devil, however you'd like to refer to our adversary, would love to rob us of our growing faith and our inner peace. As followers of Christ, we have been given this gift of faith. God, through the Holy Spirit, chose us and gave us faith in order that we could respond to God's grace in faith. Remember how fearful the disciples became when they were in a boat and overcome by a storm? And Jesus, what was he doing? He was sleeping, of all things. They were fearful for their very lives, and they finally went and shook Jesus awake, and they said, "Help us, do you not care that we're perishing?" And he said, "O ye of little faith," not no faith, but little faith. Friends, God has given us faith, and it's a faith that can grow within us over time. Faith that can help us resist lapsing into fear and anxiety. Over time, our faith can grow, and when it grows, fear begins to shrink. So I ask you, are there areas in your life where you're tempted for your first response to be fear rather than faith? Nelson Mandela once said of fear, he said, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but it was to triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." Friends, it's comforting to hear Jesus lead off this teaching today with that "fear not, little flock." It reminds us that he's the good shepherd looking after the sheep of which we're a part. And he doesn't want us to be fearful. And he offers a word of explanation of why we can live fearlessly amid troubled times. It's because God has taken the great pleasure to give us the kingdom. What a gift! That's a gift of eternal life. You and I are citizens of God's kingdom. All of us living here in this world are just passing through. We're considered resident aliens who are actually citizens of God's eternal kingdom. "This world is not our home," is how one hymn said it. So as followers of Christ, as kids of the King, Jesus calls us to be free of fear in order that we can invest our lives, our time, and our resources in the eternal work of God's kingdom. He says it this way: "Make purses for yourself that don't wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So rather than succumbing to fears driven by the daily bad news of the latest tragedy and crisis, Jesus wants our drive to be loving and living and investing our time and our talents and our treasure in life-giving, redemptive sharing of resources with those who have less. And by doing so, we're not giving up wealth, but we are investing our wealth in the lives of others. And we are laying up love's lasting treasure in heaven, where a crisis on Wall Street cannot destroy the wealth and thieves cannot steal our joy. Such values, based on the love of Christ, allow our hearts to soar with generosity in a world that may hold back and hoard for fear of not having enough. In such a world with a kingdom worldview, we're allowed to help others, and to turn helping, that helping frees us from trying to become our own God. Caring and sharing that wealth means we have, knowing that our lives both now and forever are secure with God. And the bottom line is, we cannot ever outgive God. Just try. I encourage you. Jump on the generosity bandwagon and see how far you get in outgiving God. No matter how hard you try, God will continue to give and give and give. This week, I witnessed our celebration, Community of Faith, investing in the kingdom as people poured their time and talents and personal offerings into the lives of 25 children here at Vacation Bible School. Also, I witnessed your investments in the work of God as you each took an extra share of care and generosity through the Rainbow Connection summer stewardship effort. God has blessed us over 17 years here at Celebration, and each of us is building on the faithfulness and generosity of many others who shared in this ministry and vision long before us. It's part of our reality that it takes each of us faithfully doing our part to help Celebration remain both fiscally stable, financially sound, as we grow into the future that God is unfolding before us. We need not fear that future, for our future is secure with God. Fear will not serve us well in facing our current or future needs. Fear will tend to cause our hearts to shrink and our hands to begin to clutch tightly and desperately to what little we do have. Faith, however, will free us to trust God at a new and deeper level. Faith guides us to invest in the mission and ministry of God, to invest in the lives of others, to invest in our brothers and sisters around us who have far less than we, to help meet their needs according to God's loving kindness. Jesus closes this chapter with a story, reminders of living ready, living alert, living attuned to God's time, to live with a heart and treasure that are faithfully invested with God. And while fear says to us, shut down, hold tight, don't share, faith in turn says, open up, loosen your grip, share the things that God has given you for the work of the kingdom, trusting that God is still God. And I'm not, nor are you. But together we can believe that God will always meet our needs according to God's loving kindness. And friends, to me, that's good news. Please stand now for the charge and the benediction and our closing hymn. Here's the charge. May God free our hearts from fear and fill us with such growing faith that we will invest our lives and our resources with Jesus in seeking and building up God's kingdom, right here, right now, one day at a time, one life at a time, one gift at a time, one heart at a time, guided by our loving and resourceful and generous God. Amen. Now go forth into the world with compassion and justice in your heart. Give voice to the silent and strength to the weak. Hear one another, see one another, care for one another, and love one another. It's all that easy, and it's all that hard. And now may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. And all God's people say, amen.